Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, all you wonderful F1 fans out there around the world. No matter where you're listening from, whether it's Calgary, Alberta, whether it's somewhere in the United States or anywhere else around the world, if you're hearing my voice, it can only mean two things. One, my name is Kelsey, and two, you are listening to the newest episode of F101. And as always, we are going to start off this wonderful, wonderful episode with the hot topics, everything that you need to know from the world of F1. There is no race as I'm recording this weekend. It is the Easter long weekend, so happy Easter, everybody out there. There is no race this weekend, just there are some things that you definitely, definitely need to know. So let's start off with the hot topics for this weekend. In the world of sports, there are sponsors, there are contracts, and there are expectations. Generally, a sponsor has certain expectations when you sign a contract with them, whether it is football, American football, hockey, rugby, Formula One, no matter what it is, when you sign a sponsor to your team or a certain player, there are expectations and goals that you need to hit. And it is the responsibility of the said athlete or the team to meet these expectations as best they can, if not exceed them. It's just kind of how the world of sports goes. That's how sponsors get their name out there to the public. This is how the athletes make their money, their millions and millions of dollars. And it just kind of makes the world go round. But what happens when a team or an athlete doesn't live up to the sponsorship expectations? Normally, the athlete will live out their contract length with said sponsor, and then that said sponsor will no longer support that athlete. Generally, it's that simple. Whether you're scoring goals, touchdowns, getting points, or winning races, if you don't meet your sponsor's expectations, they just kind of dump you and leave you alone and go on to the next best thing. That's what would happen in a normal world. Well, Formula One, and especially Williams, is not living in a normal world. They are being sued by an ex-sponsor of them due to the lack of performance and to the description of unrealistic expectations and not living up to expectations in the 2019 season. Now, if you're a sponsor for Williams, one would assume, whether you are American, European, or otherwise, no matter where you're from, that you know something about sports, that sport, and that you know something about the history of the team and their performance of it as of late, and their drivers, and realistic expectations. Well, unfortunately for American telecom giant Rocket, however you want to pronounce it, they don't really understand this concept. They are suing Williams for $149.5 million, and they are claiming that Williams essentially gave them false hope for the performance of their car in the 2019 season. Now, for those of you who haven't seen the 2019 season or don't know the stats or the particular ins and outs of that season, it only comes down to literally one thing. Williams scored 1 point in the 2019 season. This was in the midst of their rebuilding. This was in the midst of the most turmoil that the team has ever had. They didn't know if they were going to survive anymore. Their drivers, in all honesty, and I love, you know, I wish I was an F1 athlete, but the drivers for Williams in 2019 were an absolute joke. Either they couldn't finish races due to crashing out, yes, Latifi, I'm talking about you, or they didn't have reliability enough in their vehicles to actually finish the race, or they would crash, or take your pick, they couldn't get points. And they were just getting outperformed by every other team on the grid. Rocket comes in for the 2019 season, and you know, massive sponsorship, Americans, so I'm going to kind of give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they didn't quite know what they were getting themselves into, especially because their sponsorship was such a big sponsorship at the time, and they had certain expectations, as any sponsor would. Now, these expectations and the sponsorship promises and what Williams had said the car was going to perform like is not common knowledge, but I'm kind of giving the benefit of the doubt to Williams, and I'm kind of giving the finger shake and the head nod to Rocket, going, you need to know what you're getting yourself into, and you have to understand what a real expectation is. Yes, granted, 1 point in the Constructors Series, not exactly the greatest performance a team has ever had. Yes, it is disappointing for any sponsor of that team. Doesn't matter who you are. Even Pirelli, I'm sure, was not exactly happy with them either. But it doesn't go in good faith or to the contract going, hey, you oversold what your car can do, so we're going to sue you for essentially what would end up being the entire sponsorship amount for the years that Rocket was with Williams. That's not how this goes, guys. This is Formula One. You got cars. You've got machines on wheels with probably hundreds of thousands of parts at a very high performance level trying to interact in the most perfect form possible under sometimes the not very friendly weather conditions or driving conditions. They didn't accept that. So they're suing Williams. This is the second lawsuit, which seems to be a never-ending case for Williams. In 2022, in a UK court of law, Williams actually won a suit, a bit of a defamation lawsuit against Rocket for 32 million euros. Great for Williams. They were able to stand up for themselves. They were able to prove that in a normal season and in a normal year, they would have hit these expectations, but it was just one of those years. They didn't oversell. They didn't lie. They didn't give false information on what the car could do. It was just one of those seasons. Well, Rocket didn't appreciate that, and they didn't accept the ruling of the UK courts. So they're suing Williams again, but in a US court, but at a federal level instead of a, you know, a lower jurisdiction level, even though Williams won in the UK. I think, because it's international motorsports, that a ruling that goes, doesn't matter if it's in the States, if it's in the UK, if it's in Spain, Ireland, Azerbaijan, Abu Dhabi, Canada, doesn't matter, Mexico, take your country, because it's an international sporting organization, that whatever the ruling was in the first place should be able to stick and be withheld no matter where you are in the world. It's just embarrassing to see that a U.S. telecommunications company is claiming that because the car undersold, because they didn't do what they were supposed to, that they lost customer base. They lost money in the business itself because they lost stock options and people weren't investing as much as they can. If you're basing your profitability and your sellability to clients, customers, and the world based off of your sponsorship for an F1 team or any sports organization at all, you shouldn't be in fucking business. You shouldn't have to sell your business based on who you give sponsorship money to and how well that team does. That should be a sign that your business is doing well enough that you can sponsor somebody or a team or an organization. That should be a proud moment going, hey, we have done so much that we want to give back and we want to help people become their best in sports. Not that, oh, because you didn't do well in sports, you're affecting the company. That to me says that Rocket is screwed in a business sense. They're not doing well financially, and I have absolutely no idea if they are or not. I've never heard of these guys before, and it's just sad to see them going back on a sports team going, yeah, we were a sponsorship, but we want our money back because you didn't do as well as you said you were going to. That's sports, guys. Welcome to the world of F1. Welcome to the world of sponsorship, period. Welcome to the world of sports. Sometimes shit just doesn't work out in your favor. My concern with this is now is that let's say that Rocket wins their case in the States. Let's just throw that out there. Hypothetical scenario number one. They win. Now they get $149.5 million from Williams. What happens to that F1 team now? Does this come out of the team budget? Is the conglomerate that owns Williams going to pay that money even though they weren't involved at that time? Does the money that Rocket is demanding, does that sink an F1 team because the sponsorship is bitter and somebody made a mistake and probably shouldn't have invested that much money? We don't know quite yet. So this is a very early story. This story broke on the 5th. So this is officially 4 days old. There hasn't been any ruling or any word back from F1 or the FIA or Williams themselves. I would believe that they're just going through all of the circumstances and going over their paperwork to see what can be done, making sure all their T's are crossed and their I's are dotted, which is fair, which I really hope they do. I would love to see Williams stay in Formula One, obviously. I think it would be a travesty if we lost an F1 team because of a bad sponsorship deal and somebody got heartbroken and bum hurt because their investment didn't work out. If we do lose Williams, being in the same circumstance, being in the same situation, option A, if we do lose Williams, will Williams come back in a different name? Or do you think this will give an opportunity to someone who has the financial whereabouts to come into Formula One, essentially buy the Williams team, but change the name and we'll have another team in, I don't know, as early as potentially 2024 or 2025, or hell, even at the end, by the end of 2023, we just don't know what this kind of circumstance and how this is all going to play out yet. This is very much a very developing story. These are some pretty big allegations that they didn't perform to what they said they were going to. It's a massive sum of money, even for any kind of Formula One team, even if it was Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, McLaren, literally anybody else on the grid. I don't think it would necessarily sink those teams, but for the mid and lower grid teams, $149.5 million is still not a drop in the bucket. It's a substantial amount of money. If you look at it, it's more than what the cost cap is for the 2023, 2024, and 2025 season, respectively, each year. So essentially, you're spending your entire budget cap just paying off a lawsuit because some sponsor is not happy. I do hope they get this sorted out. I really do hope that Williams stays in Formula One, that nobody loses their job over this, that the court system does what it's supposed to do in this case, that it was just a sponsor that's not happy because he didn't get their return investment in a team, and that we'll be able to move on from here. But I will definitely keep everybody out there informed as much as I possibly can. Any new news, I will pass it on to you. But yeah, that's the kind of case that Williams is dealing with now. They just seem they can't get a break. Either it's a bad season, or like now, the drivers are driving fine. The Logan Sargeant is becoming, you know, he's getting more comfortable as a rookie. I think they're going to go far as long as this financial situation doesn't absolutely screw or sink the team. Moving on to the next hot topic. It's a bit of a two-parter. First part being, as of right now in the 2023 season, we have 7 drivers whose contracts are up by the end of the season. So we're 3 races down. We got 20 left to go. We still have plenty of time. We have a ton of season to go. And I don't think any of these drivers need to panic quite yet. Most of the time in Formula One history, when someone's contract is up that year, the team doesn't make an announcement whether they're signing or not till around about the midway mark of the season. We do have a lot of weeks to go before that happens. But just keep in mind, it's been a while since we have this many drivers without a contract. Who are those drivers you're asking? Well, here they are. Top 7 drivers that don't have a contract. Number 1, Lewis Hamilton's contract is up at the end of this year. Yuki Tsunoda, Zhou Guan Yu, the 2022 Rookie of the Year sensation, Kevin Magnussen, Nico Hülkenberg, Nick DeVries, and Logan Sargeant. So there's some pretty big names that don't have a contract coming up this year. Now, when it comes to somebody like Nico Hülkenberg, he did purposely sign a 1-year contract with Haas. It was more of a kind of a get your feet kind of warm contract, see how well you do in the brand new car, brand new budget. You're coming back driving against an old teammate who you didn't necessarily get along with. It was kind of a feeling out period. His contract wasn't ridiculously expensive, which is great for Haas. I personally expect to see him sign for the 2024, probably from 24 to 26, he'll sign a multi-year contract. If he keeps driving the way he has in the first 3 races, he's shown himself to be extraordinarily reliable. He has shown the fact that even though he hasn't driven officially for 3 years, that he still has that driver's mentality. He's kept himself in shape. Obviously, he's paid attention with all the upgrades that has been going on with Formula One, and he was just ready to go from the start. So I do expect Nico Hülkenberg to definitely sign again with an F1 team. I don't necessarily think he will be signing for Haas. And the only reason why I say that is because when you look down the sheet of who or what team still has contracts open, like AlphaAtari would love to pick up Nico Hülkenberg. He's got the enthusiasm, he's got the diversity, he's got the history that an up-and-coming Nick De Vries would absolutely love. Maybe Yuki Tsunoda's time in AlphaAtari is up. Maybe he doesn't quite prove himself, and maybe they just kind of do a driver swap. Maybe he goes to Haas, and then Nico Hülkenberg comes to AlphaAtari. That being said, Kevin Magnussen's contract is also up, like I said. He's been fairly consistent. He definitely outdrove Mick Schumacher in the 2 years that they were together, or the year and a half they were together. Not much of a benchmark for Kevin Magnussen there. Mick Schumacher, as much as I love him and the pedigree that he comes from, he was still definitely having his struggles. He was still learning how to deal being an F1 driver, where now he's got to be able to show that maturity that he has. He has to be able to start matching Nico in qualifying time and in finishing. They do both have points this season, which is fantastic. So it's going to be one of those neck and neck races until both the contracts need to be signed. And I think it's going to come down to whoever gets their contract signed first is the one they're saving. And whoever doesn't get their contract signed second, it's going to be so, you know, like upset and so uptight going, well, you should assign me because I'm better, that they're just going to go somewhere else. Gunther Steiner, as a team principal, has absolutely no time for that kind of bullshit. You need to be able to drive together. You need to be able to not care if the other dude gets signed before you. If he's the first driver, if you're the first driver, he doesn't care. You just need to be able to get along. So I don't think Kevin Magnussen will be back next season. I think that Nico Hülkenberg will get signed again, and then I think Haas is going to pick up one of the other free agents that's going to come in and take his spot. Nick De Vries and Logan Sargeant, because they're rookies, generally you don't sign more than a one-year contract when you're coming into Formula One. And there are very rare expectations or rare examples of rookies coming in to sign for multiple years. We're talking like Max Verstappen. We're talking the likes of Sebastian Vettel, Mick Schumacher. Like, you need to be of that caliber coming into Formula One for you to get yourself a multi-year contract. I do think that Logan Sargeant and Nick De Vries, it's their third race, like I said. They've got 20 more to go. I think they're definitely going to prove themselves from here on out that they are reliable drivers, that even though it's their rookie year, they're going to be able to deal with the stress, the travel, the learning curves, the new updates. They will sign more contracts. I do also believe that they'll both sign multi-year contracts, which would be fantastic to see them. But I don't necessarily think that they're going to sign where they are. Now, the only reason why I say that is that Logan Sargeant, you only have one way to go when you're in Williams. And again, I mean this with all due respect when it comes to Williams. You only have one way to go, and that's up. So if Logan Sargeant proves himself by halfway through the season that he is a rookie, definitely to contend for rookie points, and even challenge the veterans and the mid-grid teams, depending on the type of car he has, or if he just drives very, very well compared to the car that he has, maybe he out-qualifies some of the other rookies that should have, air quotes, better cars. I expect to see him to go somewhere like potentially Haas. I also can see him going to AlphaAtari, depending on how well he drives. And the only reason why I keep bringing up AlphaAtari with all these options is that the wild card they have on that team is Yuki Tsunoda. He can be a brilliant driver, or he can be devastating to his own kind of race. And by that, I mean he's got patience, but he loses that patience and gets quite aggressive very quickly. When you watch his race, like next race is up, is this coming up weekend. It's in Azerbaijan. If you want to see an example of what I'm talking about, if you've got F1 TV, just focus on Yuki Tsunoda for 5 or 6 laps. It doesn't have to be the whole race, but 5 or 6 laps, and just watch his reactions. He gets very angry very fast, and the management in AlphaAtari don't have any time for that kind of bullshit. They want a driver that is level-headed when he needs to be more often than not. And don't forget, when you're an AlphaTauri, you're technically the sister team of Red Bull, so they're watching you as well. They want somebody who is level-headed most of the time. They need someone who can make the best out of a bad situation and score points. Yuki Tsunoda is, when he scores points, it's great. But when he doesn't score points, he's just out. So he needs to be able to make that leap to keep his contract, I think. Either you're scoring points by the second half of the season consistently and you're getting those points in and you're out qualifying Nick DeVries and a lot of the mid-team drivers, or you're going to be done by the end of the season. I think he's at that tipping point, which is why I keep bringing up the fact that they've got an open spot. Why not utilize it? Take a look at some of the other drivers. You've got Joe Guanyu, 2022 Rookie of the Year. He scores points super consistently. I expect for him to be the first one to sign for an extended contract this year. Alfa Romeo knows what they have. Joe Guanyu is learning fantastic from Valtteri Bottas. Bottas is learning a lot from Joe. And don't forget, Alfa Romeo is going to turn into Audi in the next 3 years. Like the 2026 season, they become a whole different team. Joe has got that consistency where even if he has to race, say he signs a 2-year contract, okay, so that brings him to 25. He'll sign for 2024, 2025, and then at the end of 25, his contract will be up. I can see him signing a 2-year and then a 1-year extension just to make it into Audi and just absolutely demolish the competition. If Audi doesn't see him as a future number one driver or the future of their team, or even just a ridiculously good starting block of their team to make sure that Alfa Romeo and Sauber sign him until that time, then I think they seriously need to rethink coming into Formula One. He's got that future. He's got that pace. And Sauber definitely has the money that they can give him. Valtteri and Joe combined don't break the bank when it comes to a budget and a salary, which is an F1 team's dream. Sign Joe. Make him the first one out of everybody. Set that number. Set that bar of if you're good, you're going to get paid. Nick DeVries, AlphaTauri. He's showing promise. He is still my number one pick to be the number one rookie at the end of the season. He just needs to show as much consistency as he possibly can in AlphaTauri. Yes, it's your getting your feet warm season, but at the same time, you're coming in with the most experience in any kind of F1 car out of all the rookies, period, and you're 28, 29. So you are technically considered you're old for a rookie. So with all the experience that he has, granted he doesn't have the greatest car in the world, I do expect him to pick up more points. I do expect him to get signed next season, but I don't expect him to sign with AlphaTauri. I expect to see him going somewhere else where someone can throw a little bit more money at him. They're a little bit more consistent in their vehicles, and maybe somebody buys out a contract for him. I don't necessarily think that he's going to go to some of the teams that have openings. I don't see him going to Williams, like not ever at all, period. I don't see him going to Sauber, just because they are going to re-sign Joe, and Bottas' contract isn't up until the end of, I believe his contract's not up until the end of 2024. I don't see him going to Haas. That would be, at best, a lateral move, and I mean at the very best, a lateral move. It wouldn't help his career, and I think it would limit him in his experience, whether he's driving with Magnussen or Hülkenberg. You need somebody a little bit newer and a little bit more edgy to teach the rookies where they should and should not go. I can see somebody buying on a contract for him. Now, I can see this hypothetical scenario in my mind. Argue with me in your head. Let us know in the comments. Comment on the post. Tell me what you think. In my mind, I can see Nick DeVries getting picked up by Aston Martin to replace Lance Stroll if Stroll can't keep the pace with Fernando Alonso in this car. The only reason why I say that is that, again, in my opinion, in my head, Lance Stroll only has a job at Aston Martin because Daddy owns the team. He hasn't necessarily been outperforming a lot of people. He's definitely not outperforming Alonso, because that ain't going to happen. He gets by on merit. He gets by on heart. And this is the best start that I have seen Lance Stroll have since I started watching Formula One. He's been good. He hasn't been great. And by this point, he's been in Formula One long enough. Maybe he just stays at good and he never hits great. Where when you look at the pedigree of Nyck de Vries, he is good coming into his rookie year. He has the experience. He is expected to be great in a shorter amount of time than Lance Stroll. So if I was to be a betting man and I had money to put on it, by mid-season of this year, I'm going to say, or by the end of 2023, if Lance Stroll doesn't keep up with Fernando Alonso and he doesn't stay in the top 10 consistently, and I'm talking over half of the races, and Nyck keeps getting better and better in the type of car that he has, I can see Lawrence Stroll going, hey, son, I love you, but business is business. They buy out his contract, which is not an extensively expensive contract, and they sign Nyck de Vries for multiple years in the very, very competitive Aston Martin of the future. So that leaves the one guy that has the most history behind him, also has the most controversy behind him, also has potentially, it's not a curse, but if you drive with him, you're always going to be considered your second driver to him. And the team generally has to fold to his demands. And if he doesn't, he does call out the team quite literally and very publicly, which in my opinion can work for you in some instances. And it can also come back to bite you in the ass more often than not. I am talking about the 7-time world champion, Lewis Hamilton. His contract with Mercedes is up at the end of 2023. It's surprising, and it shows the amount of confidence they have in Lewis that they haven't signed him now. At the beginning of your 2023 season, yeah, we have a new car. It's better than it was last year. It's getting better, but we still haven't signed you yet. Are they starting to lose confidence in Hamilton? Are they getting tired of his prima donna antics and the fact that when everything's right, it's good job, guys. We really, really did it. But when it doesn't go right, it's never his fault. It's always the car's. It's always the engineer's fault. There's always another reason why he didn't win opposed to him. And Toto Wolff does not help the situation by babying him going, hey, sorry, we have a shit car, or you would do better. It's Formula One, guys. Yeah, either you hit it or you don't. Red Bull's hitting it. You're missing it right now, but you seem to be getting better. I think his team, I don't want to say is starting to resent him, but you're starting to see a little less enthusiasm for him. He got the podium last weekend in Australia. That's great. First podium of the year. He really deserved it. Grab a fantastic race. Normally when you hit the podium, you run to your engineers, your teammates, you jump, you look like a bit of an idiot, you're celebrating, hey, I got a podium for the first time in however long. And he got second place. It's not like he just barely squeaked by and got third. He got second. Like, he killed it for a Mercedes this year and compared to last year. His team wasn't there. His team was in the garage. It's not like they didn't know he won. It's not the fact that they didn't know that they don't have time to put the car away. They couldn't touch the car. It's in park firma. Russell didn't finish. His car caught on fire, but that's not Lewis's team. That's Russell's team. So where the hell was his team? Oh, they're still in the garage, somebody told him. It's like, oh, you can start to see the enthusiasm and the support for Lewis Hamilton diminish because he just can't accept when he has a bad race. It's not just, yeah, well, you know, it wasn't the day, the car did this, I could have done better. It's never I could have done better. It's always somebody else's fault. And the fact that he went on a very public, he went on a very public demoralization of his team going, I told them what was wrong with the car and they didn't listen to me. That's why we suck. You need to listen to me because I know what I'm doing. I've driven so many cars. Well, guess what? Your engineers and your aerodynamic team, they also know what they're doing. It's a team. You can't win championships without the team. Yeah, the driver's very important. You need a skilled, confident driver who knows what he's doing. Absolutely. But you also need a team behind him that supports him and that aren't tired of his antics or aren't, if you're new, you're scared you're going to get yelled at if you mess up or there's no learning curve. It's either you did it or you don't. You're starting to see the cracks in the Mercedes armor going, yeah, maybe it's time to move on from Lewis. As of late, last month and a bit, there's been a ton of rumors from all sorts of social media, newspaper articles, insiders, all that kind of stuff, including F1 authors and F1 insiders going that there's been talks that Hamilton might go to Ferrari. Okay, that's great. Congratulations. You'll see Hamilton wearing red. Okay, so then maybe you bring over a Ferrari driver to replace Hamilton. Okay, so let's say you do a clean swap. Scenario two, clean swap. Hamilton goes over to Ferrari and then pick your driver. Who comes from Ferrari to Mercedes? Okay, some people would absolutely love that. Ferrari fans, yeah, we'll take Hamilton. He's amazing. He's got this record. He's got that record. He's got the history, blah, blah, blah. It wouldn't make any sense for Hamilton to go to Ferrari. It would be a step down. You're going from a team that's on the rise with learning curves and growing pains. You made a shit car, but you're learning how to make it better. You're starting to get faster. You're passing Ferrari now. You're faster than Ferrari. You're almost catching up to Aston Martin. Why would you want to go to a team that sucks when your team's getting better? It doesn't make any sense to me. And Hamilton's not denying these claims. Toto Wolff is not denying any of these accusations. There's no word from Ferrari yet, and you can take that how you want. Either they're keeping their cards close to their chest, or they don't want to be bothered with the rumor because it's not true. But we don't know. And just for the fact that Hamilton, again, still hasn't signed a new contract after 2023, he's still chasing his eighth championship. And that, even that concept is now potentially in danger to say he has eight championships, but we're going to get into that after this. Do you want to bring in a driver for one, maybe 2 years, just for him to get his eighth championship and then he just fucks off? He's not really helping the team. He says he developed a steering wheel for Mercedes. Okay, congratulations. He still wants credit for that, but it's not so much him. It is all about him. It's not about the team, and it wouldn't make any sense because both Leclerc and Sainz are still on contract till the end of 2024. So, which means you're having to buy out somebody's contract. Do you buy out Sainz's contract, which is $10 million? Do you buy out Leclerc's, which is 12? Not a ridiculous amount of money to pay out. It's still more money than Ferrari would want, or that Mercedes would probably want to pay. And you're going to pick up Lewis Hamilton, who wanted like $68 million from Mercedes. And Mercedes is going, no, not a chance. Yeah, you're good. Yeah, you've got the history and the accolades and all that jazz. But what have you done for us lately? Are you worth another, even if it's a three-year contract, it's $68 million? Really? Are you worth that much right now? Show us a little bit more. You're three races in. Out of the last year and a half, you've just got on the podium for the first time in a year and three races. You're not worth $68 million yet. He's very, very expensive. He's very, very stressful. Plus, he's still learning how to drive by himself. He doesn't have his physiotherapist and closest confidant with him anymore. They parted ways. I don't think it's a good idea if Ferrari decides to pick up Hamilton. I think it's a lateral move at best. Ferrari still needs to figure out what their cars are doing. They need to make them more reliable. They need to be able to finish the races. And as far as driver confidence goes, if your drivers aren't confident in your team, they're not going to be confident in the car. Everybody knows the mistakes that Ferrari has made in the last year and a half when it comes to their strategy, their communication between their pit crews and their drivers, the fact that they don't give their drivers any kind of voice. It's we're doing A, B, and C, and you go and do it. But then all of a sudden, if it screws up, you've got, we're doing A, B, and C. Are you okay with that? Like, there's no one way or the other. Hamilton doesn't operate in that kind of system very well. It's, you tell him what needs to get done. If he doesn't agree with it, he's going to bitch, whine, and complain for half a race. Or he needs that hand-holding confidence going, are we on the right strategy? What do you think? I'm not too sure. Tell me what to do. Oh my God, I've forgotten how to drive all of a sudden. Or on the flip sense, it's, hey, I told you we should have done 1, 2, and 3. You guys screwed me out of a race. Ferrari doesn't need that. That would be very, very destructive for them. And I think that these rumors are just going to kind of wither away and die. I do think Mercedes is going to re-sign Hamilton by mid-season, but it's definitely not going to be anywhere near the money that he wants. He, just like anybody else, needs to show performance. He needs to show reliability. He needs to show the fact that even if you've got a crap car, that you still need to be grown up enough to, A, congratulate your other teammate when he does better than you, and you need to give confidence to everybody in your team, or no one's going to want to work with you. And that's where I think the seven drivers this season for the 2023 season that don't have contracts signed, that's what my, you know, unofficial experted opinion goes to. Tell me if you agree. Where do you think Hamilton might end up? Do you think he's going to sign with Mercedes by the end of the season? Do you think he's just going to retire and kind of just drift away? You know, tell me what you guys think. So just a few moments ago, I had mentioned that his seven-time world championships are potentially in danger. Now, by that I mean when Lewis Hamilton won his very first championship, there was an incident that happened at the Singapore Grand Prix, and they called it Crashgate. Now, this is a very controversial event that happened that went a lot deeper than what most people think. It is the Formula One equivalent to game fixing in baseball or basketball, to somebody knowing the outcome of a professional boxing match and playing the odds to their favor. And it also, you know, has potential to change the record books and make Lewis Hamilton's life a little bit more skeptical than some people think. And this is definitely, again, this is a very developing situation that I'm going to inform you about. I will give you more information as soon as I know. This story only broke 2 days ago. So, early 90s, Lewis Hamilton is in McLaren, and he is driving very well as a rookie, and he is on podium or on track to win his very first championship. So, Singapore Grand Prix comes along, and he is within a couple points of Nelson Piquet Jr., who at the time drove for Renault. So, here is where the controversy comes into play. It is reported, and it's been very well documented, that another Renault driver deliberately crashed, essentially what it did, at a very strategic time in the race. So what had happened was, and this is, it's very controversial, some people call it very opportunistic, that, how's the best way to explain it? So to keep it as simple as possible, because this is a very complicated case that is ongoing, this was actually 2008 Singapore Grand Prix, that Nelson Piquet Jr. deliberately crashed his car to give a sporting advantage to his Renault teammate Fernando Alonso. So essentially what this means is because he crashed it, Fernando was able to get brand new tires first before everybody else because of where he was on the grid. So Fernando was fifth. Piquet, I believe, was in the top 10. Like, he was really up there. He crashed his car. Fernando hears about it. He goes in. He gets his tires changed first. So now he's still, I think he's in 16th spot at that time when this happened. What subsequently happened was everybody also chose to get new tires. So Fernando just kept creeping up along the grid, essentially, and he ended up winning the race. He was giving an advantage to Alonso to win the race to get points to potentially take away or try to take away points from Lewis Hamilton. It didn't end up working that season, but it was a definite strategy. So because he did this for the team, Nelson Piquet Jr. thought he was going to continue to drive for Renault, and he was going to get more point advantage, and at some point he was going to win a championship. He was dropped in 2009 following the Hungarian Grand Prix. He was dropped by the Renault team, to which he said, and he stated, that the team knew about the crash. They had agreed to it, that it was part of the plan, that they were going to screw up this race, they were going to help Alonso get all this kind of stuff done. And it was a massive, massive, massive scandal back in the day. So the F1 governing body charged Renault and their racing manager and their director of engineering. They were suspended for, actually they were suspended. They were suspended indefinitely from participating in any FIA sanctioned event, period. Like, ever. They're not allowed to be at the event. They're not allowed to be part of any team. And then that goes to any capacity. They could be the janitor for a team that's not even at the racetrack. They are not allowed to do that. They are absolutely banned for life. They also got, the team itself also got a financial suspension or a financial punishment. Renault F1 team had handed disqualification from Formula One for the next 2 years. Like, it was a massive, massive deal. Essentially, these guys had, the driver had admitted to race fixing, and these two specific guys on the Renault team absolutely knew about it. Investigations came out that Alonso and his team had absolutely no idea this was going on. So they were proven, you know, it showed that they were innocent and no penalties came towards them. Fast forward, some of the FIA race directors and some of the higher end people in Formula One from then, they are retiring from the sport now. They're in like their mid-90s. One of them had an interview, and this is where it gets very, very interesting, is that this certain individual, and I don't want to give out names because this is still a very ongoing situation, that this person in the interview had stated that the FIA director and one or two other high-end stewards and officials actually knew that Nelson Piquet was going to do this, and they chose not to do anything about it. They had found out 2 days before the race itself that this was the plan from these guys from Renault, and they definitely chose to not do anything about it. So what would happen in this case is if they go all the way back and they decide, okay, if you find out that someone has fixed a race and the FIA rules is that you can still drive the race, but it gets wiped from all points. Whatever happens in the race doesn't matter. It doesn't count. So here's, it's a kind of a genius situation of what Nelson Piquet is doing, because now he is trying to reopen the investigation and trying to get that race itself nullified. Get it totally wiped from the 2008 records, because what ends up happening is that Nelson Piquet ends up losing the championship by 1 point from Lewis Hamilton. So he's already admitted that he knew about it. He admitted that everybody, you know, important knew about it and that it happened. But his argument is, because he knew about it, and these two guys that were should have stopped the race, they knew about it, they didn't, that because I did something bad and they knew I was going to do something bad, then it shouldn't count. And then when you take those points away, Nelson Piquet will win his championship that year, which would take it away from Lewis Hamilton. It's kind of an ingenious move. It's also a very slimy and snaky move, in my opinion. If you know you did something wrong, don't make that an advantage for you. So if this new investigation reopens and they do find that this is legitimate evidence, that theoretically they should take the points away, they should change the record books. Lewis Hamilton will only have 6 championships, not 7. Nelson Piquet Jr. will have a championship. But in the honor of sport, even if they do find that it's true, that they should give Nelson Piquet another financial fine. There's nothing they can do to these old guys anymore. They're not in Formula One. They're not influential anymore. They can't punish anybody else anymore. But they also shouldn't make it advantageous to Nelson Piquet to give him a record that he doesn't deserve. Give him a statistic that he doesn't deserve. Lewis Hamilton is Lewis Hamilton. You don't take his accomplishment away because somebody else cheated and they're going to get away with it and they're going to get an advantage from it. That's not fair. So like I said, this is very, and this is just from what I understand of the situation and from the case itself. I had to read over the article and I found three different articles. I had to read over them three or four different times just to make sure I understood it, just so I could try to explain it to you. But I do expect to see this coming out a little bit more and a little clearer as the weeks and months progress. Like I said, I will definitely keep everybody in touch with as many details as I can possibly find. Personally, I don't think the FIA is going to change their decision at all. If they do find that, hey, these guys did know about it, they're going to be like, well, you cheated. You're trying to take advantage of the fact you cheated. We're not going to give you what you want. Lewis Hamilton is still a seven-time world championship. Deal with it. Like, we're not going to go all the way back to 2008 after all these years and change it because you think you deserve it. They will keep Lewis Hamilton at seven world championships, and I think they're just going to make Nelson Piquet look even worse than he does now, and even worse than he did then when he admitted that his team knew that he was cheating and they did nothing about it. What do you guys think? Do you think Nelson Piquet Jr. deserves the championship, even though, yes, he did cheat, but he's throwing people who should have stopped the race under the bus? Do you think Lewis Hamilton should keep his set record of seven-time world championship? Let me know what you guys think in the comment section below. And folks, that wraps up the hot topics for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If there's anything that you would like me to talk about in the weeks that we don't have Formula One races, this was supposed to be the weekend where we had the Chinese Grand Prix, but they did cancel that, hence the extra week off. We're going into a bunch of races that are back to back to back to back, so it's going to be very hectic, very entertaining. It's going to be a lot of fun, but if there's a topic you guys would like me to cover, let's say for the mid-season break, for the spring break, or even in the off-season, just let me guys know. But until then, I hope you guys look forward to this upcoming weekend's race. It is the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. It is another very early race for you, for everybody in the Northern Hemisphere, in the States and in Canada. It is our very first sprint weekend of the year. One of, I believe, six sprint races. I hope you guys enjoy it. Talk to you then.